How often have you gone on a day trip? Or maybe driven a day or two to get to your destination, and you may have packed along a meal to eat along the way. And let's not forget snacks, right? Maybe you're going to play in a baseball tournament. Maybe you're going to play baseball someplace in town, and you know it's going to be a doubleheader. And you know who I'm looking at, right? You might be going to play some sporting event, and it's going to take a couple of hours, so you pack some food along. It's usually with the knowledge of distance and your plan where you're going to be when you get there. Can you just imagine, if you would, 5,000 men and their families going on a journey to hear Jesus speak and maybe even witness him healing people while they're there and not bring something to eat? It might very well have been that they had no idea what was ahead of them and how long Jesus would speak and mingle with the people there. Of course, they knew their history, that God had fed the children of Israel during their wilderness wanderings for those 40 years with a special kind of bread, a bread from heaven, which we can read in Exodus chapter 16, where the manna was provided each and every morning. By God, because people were grumbling and mumbling that they didn't have food to eat. And he also gave them quail in the evening. Well, that was years ago, and I'm sure those people did not expect to have that kind of thing happen again. But if today's Holy Gospel gives us the account of Jesus doing something even better with his own provision of food for that large crowd in that big open area across the Sea of Galilee, away from towns where food could have been bought or found. There was no Chick-fil-A, no Harvey's, no Walmart. Lord knows there was no Publix, maybe yet, or Kroger's, maybe yet. It's a very remote area. You can hear the hopefulness in my voice. George is laughing in the back. Jesus had compassion on these people, and he stepped up to help them. Remarkably, later in this sixth chapter from the Gospel of John, there's a long discussion of the bread from heaven. The Bible says Jesus said in a prayer, and all of a sudden, people were fed. This is about the power of Jesus and his ministry, and then, of course, the ministry of his followers. Well, it was springtime. One of the clues is that it was near Passover, but there's another. We know that this is spring because it talks about plenty of grass. And that only happens in this area in the springtime because there's rain. And the melting of the mountain peak snows comes down and causes the lakes and the lake and the river to fill. Jesus asked Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Of course, he knew the answer. And so Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one of to have a bite. Our dear St. Andrew, however, the brother of Simon Peter, spoke up and said, 'Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will that go among so many?'" That tells you that either this boy or his mom had a plan and set that they were going to come and see Jesus and to make provision. Just like if you were going to a sporting event, you'd probably at least pack snacks, right? Well, Andrew and Philip knew that they had no solution for the problem, but they certainly knew to bring what was available to their Lord Jesus. You can never tell what he's going to do with it. And part of Christian faith is the expectation that Jesus will do something that we hadn't even thought of, something new and creative and probably spectacular. The reaction of the people and the response of Jesus to their reaction are both very, very telling. Jesus told the apostles to have the people sit down. There are about 5,000 men, and a pretty huge crowd by any standard, but that did not include women and children. Of course, we had the young boy, so he's got to get figured in there in his little packed lunch, but it probably grouped separately for the meal according to Jewish custom. The number was probably at least doubled or maybe even tripled. You take that into account. Can you imagine the numbers on that hillside that day? Wow. Jesus spoke the customary blessing over the loaves and fish and gave thanks. He most probably said these words, Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kidshanu bidrika v'tan lanu v'tzivi vanu li o'ator la'alam. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Jesus wanted the people to see that the object of the blessing was not the food, but God who gave it. Jesus looked up to heaven in dependence on the Father for the miraculous provision of food. Then he broke the loaves into pieces and divided the fish into portions and gave, and you got to catch this, because in the Greek imperfect tense used, he said, kept giving the portions to his disciples, to them to give to the people. How the miracle itself is not stated, but the tense of the verb gave would indicate that the bread multiplied in Jesus' hands. You want to talk about spectacular? The correlation to the Israelites in the wilderness is so important because, once again, here is God providing bread to his people in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the long-promised Messiah. I got to tell you, if it wasn't Lent, I would be saying the A word. Some people say it's the H word, you know. It ends in Yah. Anyway, oh my goodness. Like the manna in the wilderness, God provided so much more than the people needed. So much that they had what they wanted. They were filled. And imagine people who had not packed a meal and were now blessed beyond their wildest dreams. Can you just imagine being present and seeing that the supply of food never ran out? And wait a minute, that there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. Talk about a loving and amazing God. And John puts it this way. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by itself. And by the way, this took place at a place called Tabgha on the Sea of Galilee. The mountain that Jesus withdrew to was up the hill right behind it. And by the way, that mountain would become the Mount of Beatitudes one day. But wait, this site where Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes for well over 5,000 people is the place, if you take John's gospel and go forward to Jesus after Jesus' resurrection, to John chapter 21, when he stood on the shore of the Sea of the Galilee, and he said, children, have you caught anything? And they basically said, they've been out all night and caught nothing. And Jesus told them to go back out and put their nets on the other side. That's a whole nother gospel for a whole nother day. But understand this, God loves to use the same place throughout Scripture to remind us of his glory and what he has in store for his children. Well, the apostles and the followers of Jesus learned some important lessons on that day on the side of the Sea of Galilee, on that grassy seaside, during the second year of Jesus' ministry. We know it's year number 2 because the last year of Jesus' ministry, when he went for the Passover, that was when he was killed. So we know it's the second year of his ministry, and they learned that spiritual responsibility is never limited by human ability. Each and every breath that we take is a gift from God. How many of us wake up in the morning and say, thank you, God, for another day? Really, I mean, you think about it. And thank you for my family. Thank you for my St. Andrew's family. It's a precious gift to just be here today. Precious gift to just be anywhere today. Well, in this situation, even though there is only a small amount of food, 5 small barley loaves and 2 small pickled fish, well, they weren't new fish, they had to be pickled. This kid was taking it around with him. God was there. Jesus accepted the gift from this young man that Andrew presented, and he multiplied it more than 5,000-fold. If we give to God all that we have, our time, our talents, our prayers, our possessions, he will make them go farther than we would have ever thought possible. What Jesus did that day began the many wonders that would take place, recorded in the rest of John's 6th chapter. You get a chance today, read chapter 6 from the Gospel of John. Jesus is walking on the water, proclaiming these words. Oh my goodness, I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. He says, I am the bread of life. And then says, your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It's John chapter 6, verses 47 to 51. Only Jesus, my friends, can fill us with more than we could possibly imagine. And so I want to pose to you a question this morning. If you were Andrew, our beloved St. Andrew, would you have presented this young boy and his very small meal to Jesus? Thank God for Andrew. And thank God for the faith that was present that day. And for the people that received each and every morsel from which we can learn so much. You see, trusting in Jesus can bring great blessings beyond our wildest dreams. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.